This is Unpacking Design. I'm your host, Mike LaValle.
And I'm Tim Ung. Every week, we talk about the tools and tech that inspires our lives as designers.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Unpacking Design. Tim, I mentioned this briefly. I hinted at it without you knowing. It was like a shadow hint in the last episode that we recorded. But we are going to talk about a topic today that came up during one of my live streams. And the reason why I thought it was such a great question that I had an immediate answer for, but I wanted to get your take on it because you weren't like in the actual live stream and you weren't kind of, you know, feeling out the situation. So I wanted to have this be more of a discussion on the question that I got and then also sort of like the future of this topic. So I would like to talk about going back to school.
Okay. And that's a good topic.
I think that the reason why this is pertinent specifically now is we're still in the throes of a global pandemic, and it put a very interesting spin on the question that I would have had a completely different answer if this was a year ago. And basically the question, as it was asked to me on the stream, was, first, was this person has or is about to get an art degree, a bachelor's in some kind of art or design or something like that, and they want to be an architect. So they don't know what the best path was to go forward with. They don't know necessarily and that gets very much into the weeds of like how to become an architect with an architectural degree, right? I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could cut it. But ultimately, it came down to, should they go back to school for architecture right now? And my gut reaction was actually, if they could afford it and it made sense, now might be, in some ways, a perfect time, and in some ways, like the worst possible time to go to architecture school. I think knowing that a lot of things are going online in terms of education, it's not uncommon for things to, you know, to see online classes for design or architecture here or there. But I feel like, and I would imagine that you have the same sentiment or something similar, there is something about being in a design studio for crafts, for professions, for educations like architecture or multiple other kinds of design that require you really to get the best, to get the most out of your class, to be in a studio setting and to be there consistently for not like excessive amounts of time, but to be part of that camaraderie that comes out of being part of the studio. There's a lot of people in your session that will become friends for the rest of your life. They'll become people that you know that you can kind of like lean on, or that you can, you'll have a lot of the same interests because you're both crazy enough to be in architecture in the first place. And ultimately, my answer kind of came down to, it depends, but I think if you're worried about the economy, now is the perfect time to go to architecture school. If you're like, in terms of getting through the economy moderately unscathed, if you're trying to go to architecture school because that's really what you want to do, I feel like that ultimately could be a bad thing, and you might want to wait until things become somewhat quote unquote more normal and you're able to figure out ultimately what comes of an architectural education. Because me personally, knowing what my education was like and kind of being able to see back into my past, I don't think I would ever have wanted to go to architecture or even become an architect if it was all online. So that's kind of where I landed, and I kind of wanted to get your take on that before we moved into the bigger question.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to frame it during this time of the global pandemic, because when we're all trapped, well, I wouldn't say trapped, but when we're all social distancing and staying home a majority of the time just so that we can stay safe and make sure others are staying safe, it's tough to try and go back to school, especially for something like architecture, where it's typically taught in person and you have all of your comrades sitting side by side and you bounce the ideas off of each other. And it just seems to have this energy in person that you can't seem to get online. I'm actually finding that even with working remotely, it's starting to get to a point where I'm getting used to it, but I would also still like to meet with my team in person. There's just something right. really nice about seeing someone's face when you talk to them and seeing expression and making sure that you can also have banter. I think having that banter is something that I kind of miss because you don't have that as much when you're working online, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the most important things about design school, that I can just turn to the person next to me and talk about anything from the latest movies that I'm watching to the different design ideas for my project that I might be stuck on. Whereas if you're working remotely, you would suffer a little bit because of that. And I think it's a good time to share that when I started architecture school, I remember spending my first year, which was my freshman year, mostly in my dorm because there were two campuses and the architecture school was at the other campus further away from my dorm.
Yeah.
And I spent more of my time in my dorm room and I bought myself this drafting table. And I remember doing all my work. Like I would go in for class, talk to whoever I needed to talk to, and then I'd go straight back to my room and I would do all of my work by myself in my room. And I did decently during that year, but you know, honestly, I didn't make as many friends as I would have liked. And I'm right. still a little sad about that because it made the rest of my time in school really difficult. There's something about being in a group of people in person where that camaraderie just kind of happens. And then you find the niche that you fit into, or you find the cliques that you fit into. And you start to get to this level of having close friends and having someone you can trust and rely on who's going through the same thing that you are.
Right.
I didn't have that after my freshman year because I decided to be the person who just worked in my dorm room because I thought it was going to be more efficient. I didn't have a car. I had to take the bus every day, whereas everyone else lived together and went to the same studio together.
Right.
So I can say that the camaraderie is what would have made school so much better. And over time, I did end up meeting certain people and finding new cliques, but it took a while and, you know, it was kind of lonely going through freshman year and sophomore year in that way. It took until my junior year to finally get beyond that and to start making actual friends that I can trust and rely on. And the moment that that happened, I wanted to be there in person all the time so that we can experience the educational process of learning design together. Right. I don't know if it's the same for other design schools, but I would assume that the creativity that comes from being together late at night, early in the morning or in the afternoons or on the weekends, it happens to be there because you're all trying to think creatively at the same time. And just by being able to turn over and ask a question about your project typically helps any designer get to the next step and refine their ideas. I think talking out loud to someone who's physically present with you is different than talking out loud to someone over a video chat. You know, like you and I doing this podcast now over Zoom is interesting because you and I have done it in person most of the time. So when you and I transitioned to doing this online, it didn't make much of a difference because we were already doing it in person before this. Right. If we started doing it this way from the beginning, you and I would probably not talk to each other like we were close friends because we wouldn't have developed that kinship.
Right.
We would have probably had more of a distant tone in our voice. It would have been more professional. It would have been, you know, it would have been staged a lot differently. Whereas because you and I met so much in person, the comfort between us is developed. And now when we have our discussions, we know each other so well and we can point out the subtle nuances that might be funny about something that we say.
Right.
But without having known that and knowing each other in person, we wouldn't be able to have that social cue between each other. So I think that side of school is important because when I think about school right now, I don't think about it as a place where I'm going just to benefit by learning how to do something. I think more about it as if I were to go back to school today, I would want to go back to start developing that network. Mm-hmm. It has to be about the network, whether it's the friends that I make with professors and colleagues and my comrades in the studio, or if it's going to be the network that the school provides me through their alumni. You know, there's more to it than just going back to school to try and hone a craft now. It's more about developing a bigger network too.
I think that's a really good point. I think it was hinting a little bit at that, but I like the way you put that, because I feel like the sort of camaraderie or kinship that you have from being next to the person who's kind of in the trenches with you, you're both working on the same studio project, you're not only working on the same design projects, but you're also likely in the same design history classes, drawing classes outside of studio that are part of the core curriculum, that, you know, you might not be talking to your friend about the studio project you're working on, but you might be talking about, hey, I don't even really understand what a I'm gonna go to my deep cut here with my favorite architectural word, a mastaba. So like you might be just discussing like, hey, what is a mastaba? What is it? What, you know, where does that come from? Or, you know, what's the difference between a shed roof and a gable roof? Or, you know, I don't know, like just random architectural things. Or like you said, maybe it's just like, hey, going to a movie today, you want to go to, you know, see the latest I don't know, Quentin Tarantino movie or whatever. And you develop those bonds that you, whenever, I really liked your point about talking to people online. So like I will call people on my team regularly, but I feel like that works because I do already have that relationship with each one of my team members outside of the pandemic. So like I already know the person who's kind of working with me directly on a project and coordinating a bunch of other people and consultants. And like, I already know how he's thinking, what he's capable of, what he's able to do, and that direct relationship that I have. And I also know what's going on in his life too. So like, I understand, you know, like generally what age his kids are, like what he has going on in terms of, outside side hustles, even outside of his own job, sort of similar to what we do. And like those kinds of things are so impactful to the way that you relate to other people that I think architecture specifically, and I can't speak to all the other design schools necessarily because I didn't go to those, but architecture specifically was one that always stood out to me as you have to be in person in order to be part of the program. Like it's in order to do it well, you know, like in order to get the most out of it, we're spending anywhere from $10,000 to $40,000 to $50,000 a year just in tuition or to be in the room with these people who are teaching you. And I know that's a whole other debate. Like a lot of people are like boycotting colleges right now or like getting really frustrated with their colleges because they're still charging them the same amount of money as though they were there, but they're not actually there. And so it's like, well, why am I paying you $40,000 a year to go somewhere where you're basically telling me my entire next year is online? Like I could just not go to your school and then like get an education somewhere else online. These are really interesting points because it makes me feel like my answer actually even that I gave on the stream might be a little bit different now, where like if you are trying to go for the experience and really build those networks to sort of experience what it's like to be part of an architecture program, I feel like now is probably not the time to go to school. It's just, I know that there are more offerings and there were more offerings online before the pandemic, but right now it just feels like I would almost, if let's say I was a student and I was, let's say I was a high school student just trying to figure out whether or not I should go to school right now. I don't know if I might just take a year off. You know, I might take a year off or 2 years off, honestly, and just like postpone that. Or if I was mid in my education, I might actually just, I don't know if I would stop. I don't know what I would do. But if I was on the cusp of whether or not I want to go back for like a master's degree, I would definitely not do it right now. And I don't think I would do it because there's something that's sort of like, I don't know, this sounds so potentially weird, but there's something so magical about like how all that stuff kind of comes together in the studio that even like with an advanced degree, like a master's, I probably would wait, even though, you know, at that point you've kind of established, you know, you've gone through the bachelor program, you've gotten your architecture degree once, you might not even be working with the same people in your master's degree, but there's something about the magic of being in studio with a team that I still look back on fondly in my own education as something that like is one of the best parts of my life. You know, like I look back on that as like a time that I wouldn't trade for a lot of other things. I might, looking at what my student loans are now, I might have gone to a different school, maybe, you know, now that I'm a little bit older and wiser. But I don't know if I would have traded that type of experience for, you know, just going online. So we're in a different age now, and it's a fascinating topic, and it's not even something I considered because obviously I'm not planning on going to school again right away, if ever. So,
yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because I came from the opposite that you did. Like I was saying, you know, it sounds like you had that studio culture that everyone talks about. Like you were there and you were present with your peers from day one. Whereas for me, I wasn't really in that. I was more working at my own personal studio and trying to do my own things. And I didn't get to meet people the way that you did right away. Mm-hmm. And it's important to develop that social aspect of college. I think that's the biggest thing for me. If the social aspect isn't there, then I don't know if I would have learned how to use some of the software that I know how to use today. The only reason why I learned it is because I sat next to someone else who knew how to use it in person. And they turned and said, no, you got to hit this button. Or they said, well, how'd you do that? And then we had this interesting discussion about how to do something in a software. You know, whether it's Adobe Illustrator or if it's Photoshop or InDesign, you need someone who can guide you, who's also learning at the same time as you are, because it becomes more fun that way. And you can't really do that online. If a college is going to try and teach that, and they're going to try and toot that they have the capability of teaching you Photoshop with their professor online, I would have to recommend that you don't go back to school and that you take the year back and you take that 1 year to do something else until everything blows over and you can learn in person. And the reason why I say that is you could probably find a really good Photoshop course online for $30 instead of paying $10,000 or $12,000 for your education, right? And I'm one who loves to toot the ability of going to school and bettering your future in that sense, but I don't want to be biased by just saying that because everyone tells people to go to school. I think there are other methods of learning what you should know. And right now, if you're going to architecture school, the only importance would be that you can cut down the amount of time that it takes you to get licensed. You know, like, it's sad that that's the reality of it, but it's also really hard to learn how to properly detail a building online. I think having a professor sit by your side or stand in front of the class so that everyone can try it together or learn it as a group, or to be able to do it with your peer, is really important. Yes, you can learn how to detail a building online on your own, but the amount of time it takes to do it online is so much longer than sitting down with your classmates and a professor in person and having them to bounce your ideas off of and to be able to ask a question like, why do we install insulation on the inside or outside of a wall or of a membrane? And, you know, like to have those educational discussions that somebody can then talk about or that you can brainstorm as a group. It's very hard to do that online. Like, imagine being in a Zoom meeting between you and I right now where we're having this kind of discussion and only one person can talk at a time. There's also something about people interrupting each other in person that you can't really do online, or having a side discussion to figure it out and then come together as a group again. There's some things that we haven't quite reached yet on an online platform that I think we will eventually get to. But as of right now, I would have to agree with you that if, I guess, transitioning this discussion, if we were to do something right now and we were in the person's position who asked you that question about, you know, should I go back to architecture school? Let's change that to, should I go to design school right now during the pandemic? What would we say or do if we were the ones in their shoes? And I would start that by saying, I would take the year off. I wouldn't go to school unless you felt that your design profession that you're going into is something that you feel you're capable of learning online, because it doesn't have the studio environment or culture where you sit among your peers most of the day and work through design problems together. Then you might want to go back to school. But if I were going for architecture with that environment, I wouldn't want to go back to school. And instead, I would take that 1 year amount of money that I'd spend and try and build something in my backyard, or get a software and learn how to do something on my own, or try and land an internship somewhere, you know, like just to actually get that hands-on experience during this year off, because there are a lot of firms offering remote work to a lot of people. And I'm sure they wouldn't pay as much as if you were a college graduate. But, you know, and if your issue is that you can't find a job, then maybe it's about building a portfolio of your own personal work. Come up with some ideas that you have and work on developing some of those theoretical projects that you come up with. Have a position in the market and find the typology that you really want to try and design. If you're an architect and you like houses, start designing houses and start to set goals to design a house every month. Right. And by the end of the year, you'll have 12 houses that you designed, you rendered, you include in your portfolio, and now you can apply to a job and have that level of experience.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think the other thing to consider that builds on what you were saying is, if you're in a position where you ultimately do really want to be an architect or a doctor or a lawyer or a whatever, that is a profession that requires legally for you to have a certain type of education, ultimately you're going to need a certain type of degree. I mean, you're going to, in most jurisdictions, I mean, New York State might be an exception, because theoretically you can work in an office for 12 years and still, you know, maintain that. There's like other ways in certain states and certain jurisdictions to get past that and still take the test, take the exams. You're still taking all the same tests that you would have to take otherwise to get your license, but it's a longer path. And the other thing that kind of came up during the, I didn't mention this earlier, Tim, but this might reflect on what you're saying too, is in order for them to take the architecture program online, it would take them several more years longer than it normally would. So as an example, if they took all of their architecture classes online, it's not the same track as like a 4-year or 5-year degree. It could theoretically be 6 or 7, this person was saying. So that, I mean, that's like almost a decade of somebody's life just to go to school. And I understand that people do that, and I'm not saying that that's, you can't do that. But for the type of degree that I know that that person would end up with, I don't believe that 6, 7 years is worth doing that to yourself. Especially at that point, even if it's at a reduced cost to do it online, you're still talking about that much time where you're just accumulating debt, where you're just kind of like not able to even, like, the world is still moving without you. You know what I mean? Like, even as a doctor, as an example, if you're getting your initial degree, then you're going to med school, then you're doing your residency, you're still part of that process for that many years. So you're still learning on the quote unquote job as you go, versus trying to do a similar thing for architecture school, as an example, might just not be worth it. So I don't know what that would do to extend the life of other programs, but I'd imagine it's still a similar issue where you're possibly stretching out an education if it's online. And I don't know that for sure for all the disciplines, but it's just an example. Like, they were citing that if they did this way, it would take them even longer to do it online.
Yeah, so I would have to agree with you, because if you're paying that much money and you know by doing it online you're going to have to spend an extra year, I would take the year off and try and save that money, you know. And I think it's important to say that if you're currently in school and you need your degree to get licensed or to get some benefit for the profession you're in, then yes, it makes sense to continue school. But if you're not currently in school and you already had your degree and you're contemplating going back, I don't really think it's the best time to go, because you could learn all these skills that you're planning to learn on other online venues that cost a fraction of what you'd pay. And the other thing that I think is important to mention is that when you're contemplating going back to school, I think it really comes down to why. Why are you contemplating this in the first place? Is it because you were laid off and you can't seem to get another job because of the economic distress that every country is going through? Or is it that you are trying to get another job and you want to have better leverage because you think having a bachelor's degree instead of an associate's degree or a master's instead of a bachelor's will get you higher pay or more opportunity? Then I would have to say that in most cases, if you have your college degree that you needed for that profession, you typically don't benefit from having a higher degree. So in architecture, just because Mike and I, well, just because we went and got our bachelor's and then I went on to get my master's doesn't mean that I would get paid more than Mike would get paid. It doesn't, like, it really comes down to your level of experience and what you're capable of bringing to the table at that point. You know, there are some professions though in engineering where it's very clear cut. If you have a PhD, you're going to start off at X amount for your pay. If you have a master's, you'll start off at this. Right. But in the design professions, I have never met somebody who came to me and said, hey, you know, because I had a PhD in graphic design, I got paid X versus having a bachelor's. Right. I actually think people who don't even have a degree in graphic design make just as much, if not more, than the people who have a master's. I think it's more about skill, experience, and your way of working with your firm or the people that you're working for. If they like you, you like them, and you guys really are developing great projects together and you're leading and spearheading that effort, you typically get paid more. So it really comes down to why you want to go back to school. If you're currently in school, the question would then be, what are you gaining from this year of school, and do you need right. the degree in this time frame or not?
Yeah, and I think on a personal story of my own, I had always thought that I was going to get my master's degree after I got my bachelor's degree. So for reference, I went to Syracuse University for 5 years, and I got a professional bachelor's degree in architecture, which means that I can use that in New York State, which I did, and then immediately go for 3 years, get the experience I needed, take the exam, and become a licensed architect, which I am. If you don't get a 5-year degree, professional degree, you can get like a 4-year degree and then have to go back to get your master's to do the same process, but it's another 2 years, or depending on which one it is, it's 3 years. So you could be in school for up to 7. In my case, I wanted to get the bachelor's degree, and then I also want to go back for another year or another 2 years, depending on which degree program, because I ultimately want to use that master's degree as a way to teach at a university. And a lot of the prerequisites that I was seeing, especially even when I was in school, was that you needed your master's degree in order to teach at an institution like Syracuse or Harvard or UB, University of Buffalo, or wherever. You know, like, you just needed the master's degree in order to teach. And I've always had that sensibility of wanting to teach, and I knew very early on that I wanted to be some sort of mentor or teacher or what have you. And ultimately what happened was I didn't go back to get my master's degree, and I started a blog. And I've been blogging and writing and mentoring and teaching and doing everything that I would normally do otherwise without that master's degree on my own, because of the beauty of this thing we call the internet, to be doing what I want to do anyway. So I think the other thing that kind of comes into play here is, like, is there a creative way that you can still do exactly what you wanted to do without having to get that very stringent requirement and spending years of your life doing something either again or in addition to what you already have to do like you said, Tim, there's ways you can, like, you could go on lynda.com or LinkedIn Learning and learn a whole bunch of different skills, or masterclass like we've talked about in the past, and get a lot of these skills. Maybe you won't have a formal certificate, but you can very easily explain to an employer or whoever what your skills really are, and then leverage those as a way to get a job maybe that you wanted anyway.
I agree. And you know, right now, because of what you and I have done in terms of blogging and YouTubing and live streaming and all these things, right? I think to wrap a bow on what we're trying to say here, why don't we end this talk by talking about what we would do based on what we know today if we were in that person's position? And let's say that what our ultimate goal out of this was to make sure that we were marketable to a prospective employer in the future for the position that we want at the design firm that we're looking for. What would we do? And I'll start this off while you're thinking by saying that if you were contemplating going back to school, so if I were to go back to school and I knew that I would spend X amount of time in school throughout this year, let's say it was 8 hours a day, right? Like a typical job. If I had 8 hours a day and I were starting off again right now to try and build myself, I would really think about what it is that I want to be designing in the future. What firm am I trying to get into? What area that am I really interested in? And start designing that today. Share that process through my personal Instagram, through my Facebook, through LinkedIn, through all these places, and practice sharing all of the work that I'm doing and my personal ideas related to that work. As I do that, make sure that I have that consistency and I do it every week, every 2 weeks, every month. There's something that I need to turn over, like a project that I'm doing for a school course. And by doing it this way, I start to develop this audience of some kind and a body of work at the same time. And I also start to develop a personal brand. And by the time the year is over, or however long the schooling would have been if it were 2 years for a master's or anything like that, what would I have if I spent 8 hours a day every single day for 2 years developing those ideas? Mm-hmm. I think people would be surprised by the outcome of those 2 years. And when you think about it and you say, well, Tim, you know what, if I did that, how is that benefiting me? Because I'm not walking away at the end of 2 years with a degree. I would have to say that at the end of 2 years, you're walking away with no debt and you're walking away with a portfolio of work that means a lot more to a prospective employer or to a prospective client in your future versus walking away with one or two projects that came out of two semesters of schooling, you know? Yeah, you could have a professor guide you, but if you're someone who has to go back to school, that should mean that you already went through school enough to be able to develop your own project.
Yep. There's a famous movie scene that I, to build on what you're saying, because I agree with everything you're talking about, but I think the other part of this is referencing the kind of education that you might need in order to make architecture, as an example, is unique in that you have a lot of jargon, you have a lot of ideas about how to create space or create designs or create technical things. And I think part of that is the mastery of the information and then using that information to guide the way that you're designing it. So going back to what I was saying, there's a very famous scene in Good Will Hunting where Matt Damon is talking to this guy who's sort of an ass in a bar, and he's trying to impress these girls, and everybody except Matt Damon go to like Harvard or Boston College or somewhere like that, right? And this guy's like, oh yeah, well this thing happened and whatever, and then Matt Damon kind of tears him down and is like, no, this thing happened, and in history, blah blah blah. Like he rattles off all these things, and he's like, you know, at the end of the day, you're spending $150,000 what you could have just learned for $1.50 in late charges at Boston Public Library or whatever. And I feel like being thrifty right now with the kinds of education that you can get, whether it's, you know, we've talked a lot, Tim, about like even just the Libby app and just being able to get audiobooks and like other kinds of references through digital technology that's just available to free for free if you just have a library card. And if you just have maybe you sign up for MasterClass because you want to learn how you know, Frank Gehry designed buildings throughout his career or what his approach is or things like that. I think there's ways to learn from and to use the tools that you have, whether it's the internet or whatever, that are relatively free in comparison to a college degree. And I'm not slamming college. I think college is a great thing. I think it probably is a bit overpriced, but it's also, it has a lot of advantages that I don't want to throw under the bus. I feel like we've been doing enough of that throughout the podcast, honestly. But overall, I feel like there are thrifty ways right now where you can get a lot of that knowledge base, whether it's, it could even just be going to like a site like 30 by 40. If you're interested in learning more about architecture and resources, Eric Reinhold, an architect that we both know, Tim, has like book lists that he has, you know, which are like his essential book lists or resources. And I think if you just scour the internet for people like Eric or us, you know, when we're doing our side hustles and we're trying to explore architecture or design, you have to find those people that are really interested in those topics, learn from them. They're usually sharing things like books and other resources. And I feel like if you take that, and you combine it with what you just said, Tim, and you're like making these projects and you're like, so like 30% of your time is learning, the other 70% is making. I feel like there's a good dynamic there where you could end up in some ways farther ahead than people who are even going to college right now. And I don't know. I don't know how you, what your take is on that, but that's kind of where I leaned.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think ultimately it's really about like what you were saying, being thrifty at this kind of time. And obviously the one thing that I want to make clear too is I do think college is definitely a necessary part of our culture and our education, but there's a part of me that feels like it really depends on the person and what they're looking for, because I think we've all followed the path that you go through K to 12, and once 12 is done, you jump straight into college.
Right.
And I think that that dichotomy, that entire thing has to change, because not everyone knows what they want to do when they first go to college. And when you don't know what you want to do, you kind of go there and you're still lost. And by the time you get out, you expect to know where you're going, right? But right now, you should, unless you really know and you have this absolute idea of who you are, what you're trying to do, I don't know if you'd benefit from an online education the way that we know it to be today. Ultimately, I think that online education is being developed by so many companies like MasterClass, Lynda.com, Skillshare, and all these other places. Skillshare is not really up there in terms of its quality, but like Lynda.com has really good courses and MasterClass has great courses. There's a lot of places where you can continue learning. I think where I always think the biggest loss is for people going to college is that people are always working on something because they're being told to do it, and nobody really works on something because they want to do it. And I think that what you said is really important, that people should spend that 30% of their time learning how to do something, but then the other 70 should be spent practicing. And I think that the practice is more important than anything else. Not only that, I actually think it's 60% practice and 10 or more percent towards sharing your work. I think sharing your work is something that you and I learned a lot of from Austin Kleon's book, because we never shared our work. It's just like, why? Well, why don't we share our work more often? You know, you spend time, like people, I know architects who spend 5 or 6 hours doing some crazy perspective sketch of an existing building that's like the exact church that was made back in like the early 1600s in Europe. And they come out with this beautiful sketch, but they didn't document the process. Right. And then you're like, what was the purpose of doing the sketch? And it's because they wanted to do the sketch. But today you could be documenting that process and sharing it along the way and garnering an audience for yourself too. So I think there's so many opportunities out there that, yes, going back to college is a really good idea, but it really depends on what you're trying to get out of it at the end.
I think that's a good place to end it. I mean, it's going to really depend ultimately on what your current life situation is and, you know, whether you can even afford to go back to school, whether it's right for you based on your long-term plan for yourself. I mean, I think where I would leave it is maybe where do you want to be in 5 years and how do you reverse engineer how to get there? Do you need to go to college to do that or do you not? Or, you know, try to imagine what that looks like and then kind of work backwards.
I think that's a great point to end on. Thanks for joining us today, guys.
Thanks.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. Check us out anytime at unpackingdesign.com.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.